Turn with me, please, to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, we're going to start with verse 27. If you didn't bring your Bible, you can take the Black Pew Bible there. Turn to page 932 and follow along with us this morning. The little subtitle that we find in the Pew Bible there says, Messiah's Authority Challenged. Reads like this, starting with verse 27. They came again to Jerusalem. As he was walking in the temple complex, now let's stop for just a minute. Remember, they had come to Jerusalem. We had what we call the triumphal entry, where he came in there and the people had laid down palm branches and some of them had laid down their robes and different things, and people were singing and shouting. And then Jesus went to the temple and he cleansed the temple. And I told you last week or week before about the temple and the different things. Had the outer court for the Gentiles, they had an inner court for the women, and then they had the other regular worship place where the men would go in and worship, and how they had set up in the Gentile court all the animals that they could sacrifice and all the money changers, and they made regulations that made it hard for someone to do it on their own, so you had to buy their animals, you had to use their money, and seemed to be kind of a monopoly on it. I don't know if that's ever affected you or not. This year, we had to change out our fire extinguisher hoses over here in the education building. Supposedly, we were told we were supposed to change them every 5 years. And so in the process of changing them, called up the company and they wanted a big amount of money for it. And so I asked them, well, is there another company that we could use? And they said, no, we're the only ones. And so I politely made a few comments about you have a monopoly on it and there's nothing we can do, and then a few other good words. And the company got mad and left us kind of high and dry because they had a monopoly on it. There's a problem when someone has a monopoly on how you can do things the right way, or when someone has a monopoly on how you can worship God. And so they had set up a monopoly and even were getting kickbacks on doing it. And so it was not a good situation. So Jesus comes in and cleanses it. And now then, they go away, they come back, they come again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple complex, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, all the leaders together, and they ask him, by what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority to do these things? Jesus said to them, I ask you one question, then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. Was John's baptism from heaven or from men? Answer me. And they begin to argue among themselves. If we say from heaven, he will say, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, we're afraid of the crowd because everyone thought that John was a genuine prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Isn't that a great answer? We don't know. We do that quite often when we get in a predicament. And Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. And he didn't say he didn't know. He just said, I'm not going to answer because you wouldn't answer. The authority being challenged. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, thank you for your authority. And Lord, I pray that we might submit to you. You have a monopoly on the universe because you're the creator. And Lord, we just thank you because you have given us the directions on how to live and how to worship and how to get to heaven. So we pray that you would challenge us this morning as we read from your word, that we might gain insight. And Lord, that somehow, some way, we might say, thy will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus started out his ministry, according to Matthew. He had gone out into the wilderness and was tempted for 40 days, came back, called some disciples, or he got baptized and called some disciples to come and follow him. And then Matthew goes into Matthew chapter 5, kind of the beginning of his ministry, with what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And as he finished the Sermon on the Mount, I love what there in Matthew chapter 7, it says that when he was finished teaching, the people were amazed, or depending on your translation, they were astonished at his teachings, because he was teaching like one with authority. One with authority. And there's something about someone who knows what they're talking about versus someone who has an idea about what it's all about. And so Jesus knew what it was, and they could tell he was different. Now, he ended his ministry here in Matthew chapter 28, as Veronica read that this morning, verse 18, with this statement: "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority. And so I want us this morning to look at the authority of Jesus. You see, there was something special about Jesus, and it goes back to who he is. But not only who he is, but what he did. But not just who he is and what he did, but how he spoke to the people. And they marveled at this. Now, back to Matthew chapter 7, verse 29. As Jesus finished the Sermon on the Mount, the people were amazed, astonished at this. And they said to them that he spoke not like the scribes. You see, there's always been people who are going to teach. And sometimes we teach the truth. Sometimes we teach what we want other people to think. But Jesus taught not like the scribes. When the scribes would get up to teach, they would talk about the authority of someone else. And so they would quote, well, Rabbi so-and-so said this, or Gamaliel said this, or Hillel said this, or they would start quoting other people. I was in worship service one time listening to a friend of mine preach. And as he did, he said, well, George Truett said this. And George Truett was a pastor of First Baptist Church of Dallas, which was the largest Protestant church in America for years. And he would quote George. And then W.A. Criswell, and he started quoting something Criswell said. And then he started quoting someone else and what they said. And these were some good things. But in my mind, I thought, well, why are we quoting what other people are saying? Why don't we get back to what God said? And so Jesus, as he was teaching, wasn't making reference to a certain rabbi or a certain scribe or a certain leader or a Pharisee or a Sadducee or anyone else. He was speaking like he was God. And maybe he could because he was God. And he spoke with that kind of authority. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus would repeat, "You have heard it said." And then he goes on to say, "But I tell you." And then he tells them the way it is. And so there was something special about how and what he said. And there was an unchallenged authority when he taught. But now then, towards the end of the ministry, we find they're coming up and starting to challenge him. So I want us to look at the authority of Jesus. If you have your bulletin, you can look on the back of it there. There's four things I want to share with you that we find here and throughout the Scripture referring to the authority of Jesus. His authority was being challenged. So what kind of authority does he have? Well, first of all, I want to say that Jesus had authority from God. Matthew's last words, we read that twice today already, records in the form of the Great Commission, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And so God is the one who has all the authority. He gave it all to his Son, Jesus Christ, and gave him that authority, all authority in heaven and earth. Now, I've asked you this year to read through the Bible with me. Now, I don't know if you get up early in the morning and read it, or if you read it at noontime when things slow down, or if you read it at nighttime just before you go to bed. But our scripture for today was found in 1 Peter chapter 3. And so I sat down to have my quiet time early this morning. And as I was reading, I came to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. And I thought, wow, I didn't even look up this verse, but it goes along with the sermon in a great way. It's on page 1115. It says, "Now he has gone into heaven," referring to Jesus. "Now he has gone into heaven. He is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers subject unto him." And so everything, Jesus as the Son, Everything except for the Father is subject unto Jesus. All the authorities are subject unto him. All the powers are subject unto him. And so Jesus has this authority, first of all, from God. Now let's go to the book of John, chapter 17, and we find what I call the Lord's Prayer. Now, not the prayer that we pray so often, our Father which art in heaven. That's kind of a model prayer. But the Lord's Prayer is found in John, chapter 17. And I want us to look at verses 1 through 5. This is going to be on page 996 in your pew Bible. Jesus spoke these things, looked up to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. For you gave him authority over all flesh. Now, I don't know about what you think about Jesus. I don't know what you think about God. But God the Father gave all the authority over all the flesh to his Son, Jesus Christ. We find that in Matthew chapter 28. We find it here in John chapter 17. All authority. You gave him authority over all the flesh, so he may give eternal life to all you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. I have glorified you on the earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world existed. Before time began, Jesus was with the Father. Now we can't quite understand the relationship between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three different revelations of God focusing in on one God. But somehow it happens. We accept it by faith. And the Father has given the Son all the authority over everything. The dictionary defines authority like this: the power to give orders or to make decisions. And so sometimes you have the authority within your house to make some decisions. You don't have to go ask anybody. Sometimes at your job, you have the authority to tell someone to do something. Sometimes at church, we find, well, who has the authority? And it's debatable on what it is. But it's to give orders or to make decisions. Another definition would be the power or the right to direct or to control someone or something. And so when Jesus has all authority, he has the right and the power to give commands, go make disciples. He has the right or the power to control someone. We submit to him as the Lord. I love the little phrase. I've used it hundreds of times here. If Jesus isn't Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Because when he is the Lord, everything submits unto him. And so Jesus has this. Jesus has all authority, and that authority comes from God. The second thing I notice and try to emphasize when we talk about the authority of Jesus, the scribes, the elders, the Pharisees came up to Jesus, the chief priest, and said, by what authority are you doing this? And so Jesus had authority, first of all, because God gave him that authority. Second of all, Jesus had authority because he is the Creator. He is the Creator. Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, this word here in Hebrew, God, has caused a lot of discussion in seminaries and in churches and across the country, because the word for God actually is plural. Now, we believe in one God, but how could it use a plural word here? And so the only explanation that we can come back to if we believe in the inspired Word of God is it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. And so God says, remember what it says? Let us make man in what's that next word? Our image. And so as a result, we believe that we are a body, we are a soul, and we also are a spirit. And so there's a trichotomy there that we could talk about. But I just want to say that Jesus has authority because he is the Creator. We believe this. This is where the Trinity comes into being. John chapter 1 records it a little bit different. If you want to go to that or listen to me, maybe you already have it memorized. It says, in the beginning was the Word, the Greek word logos, and that word is Jesus. It says, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so we go back and we study the theology behind this. There's one God and only one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And so somehow in this view of one God, there is a Trinity where the three become one. And the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him. And apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in Him, and the life was the light of men. And that light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. And so John records Jesus as the Creator. Back to Mark. Now, if you, some of us would believe, because He's a Creator, that if you make something, if you create something, it belongs to you. And you have the authority over that. So if I want to bake a cake, it's going to be my cake. If I want to leave it in a long time because I like crunchy, that's my business. It's my cake. If I want to take the cake out of the oven early and make it doughy because I like it to ooze, you know, that's my business. It's mine. If I want to make and put ice cream on it, you know, it's my business. Had a little had a few words over Thanksgiving. Not angry words, but we had biscuits for breakfast. And so my son, who is an adult, I think, got his biscuit, and I stopped at Cracker Barrel and bought him some apple butter. We are fans of Cracker Barrel apple butter. And so I love apple butter. And so he gets his biscuit, and he puts apple butter on it. That's good. My mouth is watering now just thinking about it. And then he takes Karo syrup and pours on top of the apple butter. What are you doing? First of all, I bought this stuff. Second of all, it's already in a perfect form. And now you're putting this. It's mine, he says, and this is how I like it. What could I say except, you are weird. So I get gravy, and I put on my biscuit, and then I put the apple butter on top of the gravy. Now that is good. That is good. You know, my son is weird, but this is good stuff. But again, when we're doing it ourselves, we have the authority to do what we want to do. And so Jesus is the Creator. And so it all belongs to Him because it was created through Him. In fact, we'll look at Colossians in just a minute. But Mark records several demonstrations of Jesus' authority over demons, over death, over sickness, over nature, over physical handicaps, and even over religion as He went into the temple and He cleansed it. And so Jesus exercised this authority. And so the religious leader says, wait a minute, who gave you this authority? By what authority are you doing this? And so the answer, one, is because God gave it to him. The second is because He created it. I like what it says. Perhaps some of my favorite scripture is found in Colossians, if you turn to page 1084. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, talking about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. So we can't see God. Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And listen to this. For everything was created by Him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Three words to look at that. First of all, by him, through him, and for him. And so this is just another declaration that Jesus is God in this Trinity form as he revealed himself as the Father, the invisible Father, in the visible, the Son, and in the Holy Spirit that indwells within us. And all authority, because Jesus had the authority because he created everything. And so when the rulers came up and challenged, by what authority are you doing this? He could have given them lots of answers, because we can find that here. A third reason that we can find the authority of Jesus: Jesus has authority because he is the sustainer of the universe. The sustainer, he's the one that keeps it all together. If we studied science a little bit, I'm not much of a science guy, but we have gravity that pulls us together, we have inertia that throws us apart, and we have all kinds of things that just kind of, wow, are we still going to be around in 100 years? You know, they tell me that the sun is getting bigger and someday it's going to explode, and you know, we have all kinds of stuff. And I'm going to tell you that Jesus keeps it all together. He's the sustainer. We don't have to worry about it. Something has to keep us going, and that is Jesus. Let's go back to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, and read this whole 15 through 20. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by him in heaven and earth, the visible, the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or authorities, or all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. Now, we can talk about gravity, inertia, we can talk about all these different things, but I'm telling you that Jesus is the sustainer. He holds it all together. If it wasn't for him, it would explode, it would be gone, there would be a big bang. He is also the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all his fullness, not some of it, all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross. We can't get away from what he did for us, dying on that cross, through the blood of the cross, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And so he is the sustainer. I think the book of Hebrews, if you're reading the Bible through with me, we just finished Hebrews, I think, last week. Hebrews states it very well. If we go to page 1099, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets, at different times and in different ways. In these last days, he has spoken by his Son. And God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful words. There it is. Sustaining all things through his powerful words. After making purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So he became higher in rank than all the angels, just as his name he inherited is superior to theirs. And so we find he is the sustainer of the universe. He keeps it all going together. Not only as he sustains the universe, but he also sustains us. He keeps us going. Philippians chapter 1, I think we tried to memorize that one time. Maybe we better read it. Otherwise, I'd give you Thompson paraphrase there. Philippians 1, verse 6, I am sure of this, that he who started the good work in you will carry it on to completion. He's going to sustain it. He's going to get it started, and he's going to carry it on until it is completed and finished. And so God is a, Jesus is has the authority because he is the one that keeps it running. Whether we want to call him the gasoline in the motor, or we want to, whatever we want to say, he is the one that sustains us. And so the authorities come to him, the people who had the authority in the temple, and ask Jesus, they challenge him, "Why, what authority are you doing? You didn't ask permission to do this. Why are you messing up something that we set in order?" Challenge. Well, there's a fourth reason why Jesus has authority, and that is Jesus has authority because he's the head of the church. Now, I refer often to the temple as the church. It was different back then. I recognize that, but still referring to that. Jesus is the head of the church. When we think about the church, we describe it in several ways. In Revelation and Paul throughout his scriptures refer to the church as the bride of Christ. And we are the groom. And so he is coming for us as the church is the bride. The groom is coming down for us. The church also is referred to in several places as the body of Christ, and he's the head. We read here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, he is also the head of the body, the church. And so he is the head of the church. And so because it's his church, he has the right to do that. You recall what it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. And so he's the head. It's his body. It's his temple. And he says that here. The church's purpose is to make disciples for Christ. Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And then so he states the authority, and then he states the commission. After he says, the authority is mine, now I'm telling you to go make disciples. He has that authority because he's the head of the church. He died for the church. One of my scriptures I like to use is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And so Christ died for the church. Now, we're not talking about our church. We're not talking about Baptist church. We're talking about the universal church that Christ died for. And without that church, there's no hope for us because Christ died for the church, and that gives him the authority because he gave his life. The church is the people of God called by his name, and that gives him the authority. Back to Mark chapter 11 as we were looking at this morning. Here in Mark, the religious leaders, the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, they challenged his authority. Now, for us on this side of Calvary, what an audacious thing to do, to challenge God. We traveled to Phoenix this last week, and on the way home, it's after Thanksgiving. When Thanksgiving is over, what comes on your radio? Christmas music. And so there's several different people singing a little bit different versions of Mary, Did You Know? And so when you're sitting in a car and you're trying to ignore the children around you, you have a tendency to try to focus in on the words of the song. And so I was listening to that. And so when you kissed your child, you kissed the face of God. You know, just that thought. Right now I got goose pimples up the back of my neck. Just the thought, kissing the face of God. And there's other things as we see people touching God. Whatever this may involve, I'm in awe of that. And then when I think of these religious people challenging the authority of God, I'm just kind of, wow, I can't believe they did that. Jesus had already given them the answer to their question. As he walked through there and he cast them out, he declared, "This is God's house." He gave them the answer. Because he says, you have abused God's house. So because it's God's house, I have the authority. Because you have abused God's house, I have the authority. The prophets themselves condemned you. Jeremiah says, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. So Jesus even quoted the prophet's authority in doing this. And now then he reinforces it as he cast them out and declared, my house will be a house of prayer. They knew it. They knew who Jesus was. They knew what they were doing, and they knew what authority he had. But Jesus wouldn't stoop to their level. So he asked them a question about John. We're not going to get into that part. But they knew that Jesus had authority. Whether it was because he was given that by God, or whether it was because he was a creator, or whether because he was the head of the church, that was his building, or whether he was the sustainer of the universe, they knew it. He had it. And we're here today to say he still has that authority. The question is, are we going to challenge him, or are we going to surrender to him? Do you want him to be the Lord of your life or the judge of your sin? How are we going to live our life? How can we honor and glorify him? Why not say, yes, Lord, yes, and give it all to him? To live our life for him, realizing there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through him. And he will get us there, and we will worship him forever. Why not start right now? Would you pray with me, please? Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your holy word. And God, I thank you that all authority was given to Jesus. And it was evident in his demonstrations of that authority as he healed people, he cast out demons, he raised the dead, he walked on the water. But Father, that was also evident in the things that he taught and the life that he lived. May we recognize you as the only God, and may we submit to you as the Lord of our lives today. And may your will be done. Father, thank you for demonstrating your love by sending your Son to die for our sins. May we forever be grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to close our services this morning.